Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Well, hello everyone. It is Becky Brown, not Steve, and it is also Mylon Yurkovich and Dr. Jim Burns joining you today and taking your calls. We're so glad you joined us. And, you know, I was talking to the guys before we started that, you know, there's a lot of us that are north of 50, you know, not only in this room, but throughout the land. And I just think, you know, sometimes when we get, you know, a little bit more advanced, I don't even know what I want to say about that, but we can have a tendency to look for retirement, looking for, you know, just to sit back and not do anything. And yet I think there's so many good things that come as we get older, but, I don't know. What are your perspectives on this, Jim and Mylon?
Well, I'm liking this stage, this over 50 stage, and I'm a little bit farther than just 50. I'll tell you that much right now. But you know, Becky, about, 10 years ago, I came down with cancer, and the night before I was going to have surgery, I wrote down some phrases that I wanted to pass on to my kids because I was thinking about legacy. I didn't think about legacy when I was young, and I, you know what one of the phrases was? Have serious fun. What I wanted to say was to them, I wanted to lean into the fact that we need to have serious fun, and I think when we get older, we have that chance. You know, my kids are out of the house. Now I have grandkids, and I have serious fun with those grandkids, but you know, you have to lean into it. You have to make that a habit. You have to decide. It has to be proactive. Be intentional about it. And one of the things that my wife and I are really trying to do right now is literally not – life's not all fun, but for us to lean in and have some serious fun. And the other thing that I found is, you know what? Games are usually won in the second half, not in the first half. So that's when you have more time to work on your spiritual life, on your soul focus. And so that's – an interesting part too, I think, after 50 is sometimes we're just so busy trying to get the kids through. It's Thursday. Now it's Friday. We got to do it again. But, you know, as we get older, we really can put more energy and time into our spiritual life. And that has given me great strength and great hope. Fun and putting some time into my soul care.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love that. Mylon, how about you?
Well, I, there's a lot of things to work on. The first thing I have to work on is just I have severe name envy for you guys. You know, Becky Brown, Jim Burns. Well, what's your name?
Mylon Yurkovich.
You know, and how do you spell that? Well, which one? The Mylon part or the Yurkovich part? How do you spell Jim? How do you spell Becky? You know, I mean, the severe name envy is a problem that I have to deal with. Secondly, it's a big adjustment because I don't feel like I'm 73. I feel like I'm 53 or 40. Sometimes it all depends on which doctor's appointment I'm at. But you know, but the bottom line is that there's a tension in us because we were made initially to be eternal creatures, and so we were made not to die. And then death was imposed upon us. So we have this tension inside. We have this tension of, I feel like I shouldn't not be here tomorrow. And but then there's this, the cross is paying for my sin to give me eternal life. And what God did is give me the gift of eternal life reinstated. But we struggle with this gap period in time here. And it's a very difficult time. So there's a struggle. But then, as Jim said, and you're saying, there's a lot of joy. Kay and I are starting to play pickleball, and a lot of fun. But we're still working because we have stuff to contribute and passions on our heart that we want to continue to carry on and a legacy we want to leave, Jim.
Right. Legacy becomes important.
Right. Yes. The legacy, that is such a powerful word. and we make it every day. Mm-hmm. And it's there are going to be days that are going to be tough, but boy, you know, you want to be remembered for good things and how you mm-hmm. helped somebody along the way. And whether that's your family mm-hmm. or whether that's your friends or your church community, you have an impact to make, and we want to see it.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. I'm so glad you joined us. And by us, it's Dr. Jim Burns and Mylon Yurkovich and Becky Brown. We're taking your calls. And just a reminder, we just started the New Life Coaching Network. And, you know, coaching is a little bit different than counseling, and it might be just the thing that you need. So you can give us a call, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, and find out more about it. It can really make a difference in your life. Right now, we're going to talk to Peter, who's calling us from Boston, Massachusetts, listens on Sirius XM. Hi, Peter. Thanks for calling. How can we help you?
Hi, folks. Thanks for taking my call. This question is for mm-hmm. Mylon. So, a longtime listener, and forgive me for just recently getting my arms around the website you and Kay have put together, which is phenomenal work. But my question, without you know, going too far into it, I'll leave that up to you to ask me the question, but I'm involved with a woman. We've been together for maybe going on 2 years now, both of us prior marriages. She's 10-plus years younger than me. She has younger children. And we just recently, about a week ago, got into a little crisis with our communication styles. And I've heard you talk about this in the past, where you can kind of sabotage things, so forth and so on. And I'm an avoider. It fits. Because we had this another incident in the fall, we were able to get through it. But this time around, I wasted no time in really drilling down on some of the work, trying to figure out how to re-engage and how to, you know, how not to repeat the same things I tend to do, and at least with prior relationships, in that I go down under, I go dark, I have difficulty re-engaging, I know I have difficulty sharing emotions and giving any more to a question like, how was your day? I'm like, fine. That's how I'll typically respond. And that's in the short question. How can we kind of re-engage? Because, you know, text messaging and phone calls have been pretty sparse this week. So she's upset. I mean, she said a couple things in the last week. One was, you don't believe in me. One was, that was the big one. It just devastated me because with all the pressure she's under, just generally with life, I feel like I'm doing everything I can to be supportive.
You know, Peter, I love your call. I love your heart. I love what you're trying to do. You're saying, I want to be serious about this thing called relationship. And Jim and Becky and I know that we have to be serious about our relationships and highly intentional. And just learning to ask questions. I know I hurt you last week. Could you tell me more about how I hurt you? You did a beautiful job of expressing to us. Now, if you were to express it to her, and that will have tremendous power, because there's always going to be ruptures in relationships. Conceivably, little ones every day or every week, we're going to always find ourselves drifting apart or having a little something that propels us apart for a little while. But then to repair that is really important. So you're on the right track. I would just get the on our website, down in the freebies section, you can get a list of questions to ask her and feelings word list.
Yeah, I've printed them all out.
Great.
Over the weekend.
Just say,
I was reading.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to
say, watch the video on the Soul Circle.
Yeah, on the Comfort Circle is a really good idea.
Yeah,
and Peter, I'm just on your team, and I love what you're doing. Jim, what would you add to that?
You know, Peter, I actually want to give you a star on your lapel.
That's right.
From New Life Life, because you're trying to communicate in a more effective way. And I love your approach as well. Mm-hmm. You know, I have a mentor in my life. His name is Neil Clark Warren. He was the founder of eHarmony, so a lot of people would know him from that. But he's actually a marriage expert and a relationship expert. One of the things he told me in his office one time when I was doing some work with him was, communication is a learned trait. So instead of giving you advice, I want to affirm you because you went to the website. You're looking at How We Love. I passed that book out like crazy because it is a great way to help people learn to communicate. When I first read that book with my wife, and I was, I mean, the word avoider like yourself just came out all over, and I didn't like that. I wanted to change. I wanted to be somebody different. But you know what? I had to learn how to communicate with what I had, and you're doing that. And so I think she's going to see that in you. And obviously, if she says she's not feeling you believing in her, then, well, you can change that in terms of how you communicate. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you're doing what you're – you know, sometimes people look for deep magic, you know, flags and answers and whatnot. I'm telling you, you're doing it because you're trying to be the kind of communicator. And that's what we all have to do. And we have to learn that – no, we came from some deficits. I came from deficits. Mm-hmm. So I didn't know how to communicate. My parents didn't teach me how to do that because that wasn't their strength. Dad was an alcoholic, and so that, you know, is one story. And Mom was married to Dad. So that's, you know, that's – I didn't see that. So what you do is you learn from people who you can relate to, and obviously you've learned a lot from Mylan and Kay, and keep doing that. And so, you know, this is a hiccup in the relationship.
Thank you. I think you're giving me a little bit too much credit, but thank you.
I did give you the star of the day, though, so I can't take that back, okay? I can only give one, and it's now on your lapel.
It's unfortunately, it gets to this crisis a couple of times a year, and I fully am aware that I have fear in re-engaging and fear of being whatever, rejected again when I already feel bad enough. So it's like, how do I break the ice again? And I'm afraid.
Okay, so one of the ways that we break the fear cycle...
Most folks don't attribute fear with me.
Okay, but no, yeah, Peter...
A different conversation.
Peter, you look like Iceman, okay? You know, and you can look like you got ice running through your veins because avoiders can look pretty steely sometimes. But there's a very compassionate side inside of you and a sensitive person inside of you. Hence, your distress with what happens a couple of times a year. And I'm going to add something to Jim's word communication. There's communication, but then there's reactivity, which on top of poor communication skills causes everything to go south, and that's called, you called it a crisis earlier, and we call it a core pattern.
Absolutely.
And that reactivity is what we need to also address and realize fear is going to be one of your primary things you're going to wrestle with, Peter, because avoiders are usually highly accomplished, and they are very success-oriented and task and mastery. So when they find an area they're not really good at or they struggle in, they're going to have high levels of anxiety and fear. But you're doing the right thing. If we are afraid of something, try it. And I encourage you to do that. I have another idea for you, Peter. Have your...
I wish I had a pen handy.
No. You don't need one. You'll remember this. Did you say she's your girlfriend? Is that right? Is that the word you're using?
Yes.
Okay. Have your girlfriend listen to this show with you. You can go to the website, newlife.com, and you can archive it and listen to this show. And I would have her do that because she'll hear your heart as we do.
Okay.
Becky, how many guys do we hear on this show with this kind of a heart, Becky?
One, and he got the star today from Jim. No, I'm teasing. But, you know, Peter, I want to add one more thing. You know, if you haven't already done some work with a therapist, that could also help you in this process. You know, because you talked about you both were married before, and sometimes we're triggered from old relationship habits.
Absolutely.
So I don't know what happened to your first marriage. But
and she clearly has... damage from, you know, I can see it. I mean, I think I've worked enough on myself over the years to recognize the pain that she feels and what I would imagine on the target from time to time.
But it's also important for you to recognize your own stuff. Like, it's real easy to see where other people have the deficit or the reactivity. But what I'm suggesting is that as you do continue to work on your own stuff, you become more vulnerable to her, and that becomes safer. You know, I mean, like, she can, you know, she can re-enter into a relationship with you, whereas you guys are, like, you know, separated right now. It doesn't sound like there's much communication. You said there's a lot of distance between the two of you. But I agree with you, Mylan, that, you know, let her listen to this call. And that's a form of vulnerability. I think...
You know,
it's
Becky,
it's good. It's hopeful.
Becky, two.
Go ahead, Mylan.
Two, we just have to realize that what Peter just said, a very quick statement, he said, I'm the target. So when she gets reactive, he is feeling as though he is the target. And I'm guessing that a lot gets unleashed upon him, which is probably not just what happened, but her history is getting folded into that. And then it feels like an explosion from time to time. And but that's where you put on your fireproof panties and you put on your safety goggles and you stand in there and you go, okay, what else hurts you? What else hurts you? Tell me more. What else do you dislike? And you actually lean into it, and it is very diffusing when you do that.
Yeah, it is hard. It is so difficult. But I'm glad you called, Peter, and I know that you do get the star for your lapel today. Not that we have any.
Amazing.
we're going to take a call. Deb is calling us from Charlottesville, Virginia, listens on Sirius XM as well. Deb, are you there?
I am here. Can you hear me?
Oh, there you are. Yes, we can. Hello? How can we help you today? Yes.
Hi. It's interesting. I am having a very difficult conversation in about 15 minutes with my elderly father. We have a team coming in to talk to him about moving to assisted living, and I was just praying to see, how do I talk to him about this? What do I say to support him? And I turned the radio on, and there you are talking about the stage of life. So any advice on how to support him, what, so that he doesn't feel like we're abandoning him? But he has dementia, and he's, you know, in need of more support than we can offer. But it's very hard to not feel like you're not there for him, you know.
Right. Deb, we're glad you called. Go ahead, Jen.
Deb, I would say make sure that you get inside his fears, his mind, what's going on in him, because he may not obviously want to go into assisted living, and at the same time he needs to. So first, before you say here's the plan and we're taking care of it, say, I can understand. I recognize where what I might be feeling if I was in your place, and I love you so much, and it's not like we're going away, or reassure him of all the things that he might be fearful about. And understand that in this season of life with him, especially as he enters into dementia, it's a tough place for him to be. So give him love, care, concern, and empathy, and then, develop the plan that works.
That's great, Jim. Mylan?
Empathy is always good.
Yeah, Deb. Empathy, and Jim was on point there, that you really have to, if he has the capacity to tell you how he's feeling about this, that's really important to really listen to that, as Jim has already said. But let's be very frank here. It still may be a battle. Even though you talk about the feelings and listen to him, you're going to have to say, here's what we're going to do. And it's all planned, and it's going to be different, but we're going to help you walk through it and assure him that we're not just sticking you someplace and going to leave you alone. We're going to create a transition plan where we want to listen to you, where we want to be with you and help you do this, and we're going to walk with you in this new direction.
Does that sound helpful, Deb?
Mylan, I had a situation, and I mentioned this to you the other – I was – at church, and we saw a mutual friend of yours and mine who was in an assisted care, and he didn't want to go.
Yeah.
And his wife said, look, this is good. We'll see how this works. And then he said to me Sunday, he said, I broke out. Well, she brought him out. She gave him some good things to look forward to, sometimes a meal, sometimes this time it was church. But I love that he said, I broke out. But I said, how's it going there? He said, I like it a lot. He didn't like it when he went in.
Right. Yeah.
Great. That's a great story, and I think, Deb, that's really going to give you some great tools in these next few minutes before you get going with this group. You know, we want to honor our parents. You know, we talk about that, but we also need to provide good care, and that can be hard when, you know, maybe he doesn't understand, and maybe it's tough on the family to make those decisions, and it's happening over and over again across this country as we age. But we're so grateful for loving family members who really want to do well. We're going to be right back and answer some more calls.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. We were talking at the break of the challenges of these transitions we keep talking about, but you know, we're gonna do our best to help where we can. Right now, we're going to talk to Michael, and he's calling us from Nashville, Tennessee. Watches us on YouTube, and you can too. That's where I usually check in when I'm not on the show. And we're glad you called, Michael. And I think you have a transition as well. How can we help you today?
Hey, appreciate you guys' ministry. So I was married for about 20 years, and my wife pretty much left me and the kids, abandoned us pretty much, and so I became a single dad of 20 years of marriage, and didn't date anybody for about 3 years, pretty much just worked, took care of my kids best I could. And so now I've been dating this lady for about 2 years, and we're kind of at that mark of, you know, we need to make a decision on what we're going to do, but I'm really not ready to move forward in marriage. I don't know if I'm fearful, you know, just trust, you know, trusting that is going to happen to me again, you know, just not really 100% for sure if I'm ready to move forward in marriage. So, you know, when is a good time to even know? Like, we've been through some premarital counseling, about 10 weeks of it. With a wonderful church here in the Nashville area, and I'm not really peaceful about just getting remarried. And I know that, you know, it's going to be at a point where she's either going to move forward or so makes sense though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great question to ask too, Michael. We wish more people would ask. Are we ready to get married? All right, Mylon or Jim, who wants to start?
Well, Michael, you're asking a great question, and I could see why trust would be an issue for you, because you were abandoned. Your wife left you and the children, which is pretty rare. When a wife leaves her husband, that's one thing, but and then takes the kids or tries to take the kids, that's one thing. But when a wife leaves both her husband and her children, that is a much more severe and more it's just so much harder, because she's walking away from every relationship. So, and then you've been the faithful dad, work, take care of the kids. How old are your kids now, Michael?
22, 20, and 19.
Okay. So they're young adults, and have you talked at all to them about it by any chance?
Yeah, I have. I mean, I have a daughter. She's 19. She's not really in favor of me marrying her. But my boys, they say, you know, Dad's your decision. I think she's fine. But you do what you got to do. And, you know, we understand. And
well, here's the deal, Michael. You have, how long have you been divorced or separated from your wife?
About 6 years.
Okay. So I could see why this would be very hard. And I think for you to want to put your, you know, having almost drowned, I could see why you wouldn't want to get in the water again. And you really...
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and because it's very frightening if that's happened to you. I have to believe that everybody that gets married has reservations at some level. I think that's a part of the challenge of a commitment. There's never going to be a time, I think, and I don't know what you think, Becky, on this or Jim, but I think we all enter in with some hesitancies, or there's things that are still vague and we're uncertain of. But I will tell you this, that 10 weeks of premarital at a church is not enough work that you need to be doing. I would want to get in with a therapist in the Nashville area that specializes in histories of trauma. I'm guessing that the woman you're dating may have also been married previous as well. Is that true, Michael?
Yeah, she was married for 20 years also.
And okay.
She had a pretty abusive husband, and
okay.
her dad abandoned them when they were younger.
Okay, so what I would really want to do, Michael, is to take that young woman and to go into a couples therapy office who specializes in trauma and who really understands attachment and history, mm-hmm. our attachment, early attachment experiences, and how history is still a part of us. History doesn't go away. History is a part of our current makeup. And that's where I would spend some time, and I would really work on your hesitancies. And I would say to the woman, I need to do more work here. I think we need to do more work, and I think it would be worth it. I think this is a great call, Michael, that you're calling
us. It is a great call. It is good. Jim, what would you like to add?
Well, Michael, I would ask you a real quick question. Are you more concerned about your past or about this future relationship?
Probably. That's a great question. Mm-hmm. I just have a lot of fears that it could happen again. Do I really
sure.
want to invest in all
sure.
this again? You know,
sure.
do I
sure.
really want to do this over again if it happens?
Yep, I got it. I've got a phrase for you, and the answer is the same as what Mylan said. But here's the phrase: before freedom comes pain. Mm. And this is terrible because you've been in a lot of pain, but I'm not sure you've experienced the pain of the words he used, abandonment, the trauma that's gone on. And so I would say, face your fears, go get that counseling, work through it, even if you don't do it together at first. Take care of where some of those fears are, and then look at the relationship in a different light.
Yeah, I love the question,
okay.
Michael. We wish more people would ask that question as well. And like you said, Mylan, it is a risk. Relationships are risky,
mm-hmm.
and there is a certain amount of risk that you will take, but just like you just said, Jim, sometimes that risk is worth it,
mm-hmm.
and you can find the healing, because healing occurs in relationship, and so it would be great for you guys to get with a therapist to work through that, but also just to ask, after 2 years, I think that question probably needs to be asked. How long are we in for this?
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of the Life Recovery Bible personal size, the one-year Life Recovery prayer devotional, the New Life journal, a New Life pen and highlighter, and a New Life zippered tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. It's Becky Brown, Mylan Yurkovich, and Jim Burns, and we are taking your calls. We're going to talk with Sharon, who's calling us from Huntsville, Alabama, listens on Sirius XM. Hi, Sharon. Thanks for waiting. How can we help you today?
So I guess I want to know how to respond and set boundaries with my stepson and his wife. They have a lot of marital problems, and they like to, she calls us almost daily and tells us everything he's ever said or done and how he doesn't come home and what a horrible, father and husband he is. He doesn't tell us as much as she does, but he's very defensive, of course. But anyway, it affects us, and then they almost like want us to take sides, which we tell them over and over, we're not taking a side. We've told them they need to go to counseling. They don't want to do that. They ruin pretty much every family get-together because, they're either they don't come here with the rest of them because we have other kids and grandkids, either they don't come because they've been fighting, or one of them shows up, and then they love to fight in front of people. Anyway, how do we support them, I guess, without enabling them to continue this vicious cycle of just, you know, pulling us into their problems daily? Does that make sense?
Sure does.
Yes, it does.
Yeah, I'm so sorry that's happening.
Go ahead, Mylan.
Sharon, you have every right in the world to sit down with you and your husband, with this daughter-in-law and son-in-law, and say, look, you guys are home invasion robbers. You are invading our home, and you are crossing lines that you shouldn't be crossing. So here's the new rules. Now, you're going to have to make up what the new rules are, but they're what are called boundaries, which are saying we're going to set up the requirements for relationship with us. Now, Sharon, God does this, and it's called the gospel. He says, look, there's this big distance between the two of us, and these things are the problems, and I'm going to provide a solution, but you have to comply with my set of requirements to have relationship. It's called the gospel. It's called accepting Christ and understanding why he died on the cross for our sins, so that he could have a relationship with us. He set the criteria. So for us to be like God means we set the criteria to others so that we can tell them what we require to have a relationship. And it would be honest and loving. It would say, we know you're uncomfortable and miserable, but we're not going to be the dumping ground anymore. The sign on our door does not say county dump, you know, so you can't just come and dump here at our house. But we love you, but there's a mistake, and we've allowed the mistake to go on, and we want to correct it. So here's what we'll do. And we've offered this to many, many people, including our own family or friends. We're going to help you with the counseling, but we insist that you do that. And then we'd love to talk with you and help you, encourage you about how to continue to grow. And we want to be cheerleaders, but we're not going to be the county dump.
That's great, Mylan.
And Sharon, I love Jim? Sharon, I love that you want to help them.
Yes.
But I've got a phrase for you. You can't want it more than they want it. And I think a lot of times when we have a stepson and daughter-in-law, any adult child, we want it more than they want it. And right now, they don't want it bad enough. And if you don't do the boundary situation, those new rules that Mylan talked about, then you're really not showing them the kind of love. Love is tough. You know, there's a tough love. And tough love always means this. We love you so much that we're going to allow the consequences of poor choices to happen because you're not responsible for their marriage, to be honest. You're not responsible for some of these poor choices. And you can help them when you give them those boundaries and rules. And if a part of it is saying, we love you so much that we'll actually help you get some help because we're not your counselors. You know, we're your mom and dad. When you do that, you're actually showing more love. Then, and so it kind of goes counterintuitive, I know, but we're showing more love by setting up those boundaries and them, you know, having to be responsible on their own. They're never going to do this if you kind of allow this to be, what did you call it, Mylan? The dumping,
the county dump.
The county dump. I love that illustration. It's a great word picture. And, you know, sometimes we don't know where the county dump. Somebody else has to tell us. Mylan told you. Okay. So now that you know that you're the county dump, you don't open for business. Yeah. That doesn't mean you don't.
Well, and I have another. I have another word picture for you, though, Sharon. You don't have to attend every drama you're invited to, and these two feel like drama king and queen. And so, one of the simple boundaries that I think can start this in the right direction would be: you don't have to answer every call. That, you know, when your daughter-in-law is calling and she wants to tell you everything, you can let that go to voicemail and then decide when you will call her back. And I know that's really hard for a lot of people. It feels so rude. But we carry these phones around with us, and we think that we have to answer every call. And as much as I get annoyed with talking to voicemail, because I make a lot of calls, I think it's a very simple boundary to slow down the drama a little bit. And I don't know if you've tried that, Sherry. Have you ever tried that?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then what happens?
And she was very upset. Said that, and he's the same way. They will say, you know, I thought you were somebody I could talk to. And she gets upset. I mean, I did that just this weekend. And she said that made her feel like I didn't want her to come over at Easter when I didn't answer the phone. I didn't answer the phone at that particular moment because I was cooking and I was busy. And I don't always answer the phone. I just don't, because I know there's voicemail and they can always call back. But they throw it back on us that, you know, we don't care enough to listen. And, you know, it's sarcasm. It's, oh, well, I'm so sorry. Yeah. I thought you were somebody I could talk to.
Sharon? I almost guarantee you that your daughter-in-law has a history where she was ignored, abandoned, neglected, not seen. And so you are now the lightning rod for her history every time she feels not seen, ignored, or slighted by her husband. Earlier you said he comes home late, et cetera, et cetera. So she's sensitive to being seen or not seen. And so
you've hit the nail on the head right there. That is absolutely true.
Yes. Well, and it's very common. It is not just a one-off with your daughter-in-law. And we discussed this.
What would you say, Mylan? What would be a good response for Sharon when she gets that from her daughter-in-law, son-in-law, or stepson?
Well, it again goes back, and Jim, you said this. This is really important. I'm not your counselor. But I would say, you know what, daughter-in-law, whatever her name is, you know, your history is speaking right now. Your history is speaking. I did something that resembles your history, and then that magnified my behavior in your mind. And so when history is raised back up again and resurrected, if you will, by a current day event, that means we have work to do. And so that sensitivity is something that's well known in the therapy world, and she needs help with that. I would give them our book, How We Love, because we talk about her, and I have a whole chapter devoted to her and these sensitivities. And at some level, your son is opposing or in an opposite or some different love style that is colliding with hers. And there's 9 core patterns in our book. And I would suggest that you give that book to them and then tell them, find someone in the Alabama area that uses our book, How We Love, and go to them and get some help.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the hard part is,
counseling to them, they always say that they make excuses. We don't have time.
Well, you know what?
It won't do any good.
Sharon,
it won't do any good. That's what they say.
I know that. But they need to, you have to ask them the question, so where are you going to spend your money? You know, with a divorce lawyer and dividing your assets and then having custody battles over the kids? Or are you going to spend your money proactively now and try to solve these problems? Mm-hmm. Because if you don't and you do end up causing this marriage to fail, what's going to happen is you're going to take you with you. And it's not this person that is causing this. The core pattern is the enemy, not your spouse. And so I would really encourage you to really encourage them to read that book and to realize they're not alone. They are just in categories that are far and wide with millions of people in each of these categories. And we don't have to stay stuck there. We can grow out of them through this healing process of community and honesty and transparency and being willing to face our history.
Right, and the hard part about it is we set boundaries. People aren't always going to be agreeable to them, but it doesn't mean that the boundary is bad.
Right.
And I just want to encourage you, Sharon, in this journey, we will send you a copy of How We Love, and maybe we'll send you and them a copy. So everybody's going to be learning together. It's just a great way to heal a family, and we hope that that's helpful, and we'll be praying. We'll be right back.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back, and we're so glad you're listening. I think that Every time I listen, I learn something. And even though here I am behind the mic, I'm listening to Mylan and Jim, and I'm just learning so much. I want to encourage you, if you're listening and you're hearing something that could help change your life, begin in that direction. Because, you know, as we've talked about today, 20 years can fly by. Mm-hmm. And if you had just made that one change over time, just imagine where you would be now. And sometimes it's a difficult boundary, but you can have support around you to do that. And we've got all kinds of resources and workshops that can help you with that. And I think Larry Sonnenberg, who's in the studio, can tell us a little bit more about that. Larry?
Well,
what do you have for us?
I got two things. One is the Emotional Freedom Workshop starting a week from Saturday. And it's online. There's not many reasons why you can't do this, folks. There's no travel. There are no weekends. There's no expense for a room. Just you got to just agree to take a day. And so I want to read you a testimony from this lady that recently went to one of these. She said, "This is the first time I have felt loved by women. The Lord set me free from my mother's story about me not being good enough. I don't have to prove I'm good enough anymore. I finally now have hope that there is a future for me and I'm part of God's plan." It's short and sweet and simple, but how many ladies, how many of you are feeling that way, trying to prove yourself? You were beat down by a parent or a teacher or somebody that you're not good enough. And this is a place you can get through that, mm-hmm. or anything else that you're struggling with. So I just want to encourage you to come. Make a way. And if money is a problem, it's not real expensive to do this, but if money is a problem, we have scholarships. We'll ask you to give what you can towards it, and we'll make up the difference. But please do that. And I have a second issue here I want to talk about. Related to the workshops is the folks in our giving audience that help make the workshops possible, help make this radio program possible. So much that we do, we depend upon your financial support. Here's a simple little note that came to us by somebody who just joined Club New Life. "I've been listening over a year, and it's time to sow a seed in a ministry that has helped me in so many ways in my own life, just by listening to the program." How many of you out there, I can just see all these hands going up, have never given but have listened for years, and you've had all kinds of help. And I would just ask if you would take the number of years and multiply it by $10, $15, $20, $50, $100 for each year, it would make a big difference in New Life. And I've encouraged people in the past, you know, stop the car, call right now. And Mylan keeps saying, let them pull over. And then stop the car.
Yeah, that's a good plan.
Yeah, but this ministry depends upon support. And what better ministry to support than what you're listening to these folks encourage people by? So appreciate that.
Well, thank you, Larry. And I am grateful for those of you who are listening. And for the month of April, any gift, we'll send you a thank you gift. It's Laura Manjan McDonald's book. Larry, you got it.
The Heart Handbook.
Did you take it?
Yep.
There you go, Heart Handbook. That's awesome. And just our thank you gift. And Laura's got a great way to encourage you in your healing process. She's one of our speakers at Restore, the workshop for women. And I think that it will bless you. And, of course, we just want to say thank you for your support. You know, before we went to the break, when we were in the break, Mylan, you were talking about something that I think is really such a foundational teaching. And especially because we are right after Easter week, you know, this is the week after Easter. And, you know, we were so encouraged on Sunday that the resurrection occurred, and it is good news. But what's the bad news that you were talking about? The sea drive, Mylan.
Thank you. All right.
Now, I have to.
I needed to be cued as to.
There you go.
The
sea drive. You know what I'm talking about, don't you?
I do now. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
Well, the simple point here is that God does not erase our history. So we can be completely forgiven with the finished work of Christ on the cross. That is, our sins are forgiven, past, present, and future sin, And we are guaranteed a security in that relationship with Christ, that God sustains that security based upon his promises for us to have the gift of eternal life. But we must also realize that our history has not been taken away from us. The Bible says, if any man's in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. A lot of people think that that means that your history no longer matters. But as we understand and teach on this show, and we teach in our workshops, history does matter, because your brain holds on to your entire history. He doesn't erase where you went to school. He doesn't erase your education. He doesn't erase your likes and dislikes. He doesn't erase that you like pizza. I mean, he just doesn't just create and wipe everything and do a C drive, just clean it out and then totally rewrite the system. That's called sanctification, that we have to grow up and into the relationship and our privileged position so it more resembles the truth of what we have, that we're resembling that here on planet Earth. So we have to pay attention to history.
Mylon, I heard one of your counselors in here one day years ago say, if the past is still affecting you right now, it's not the past. It's current.
Oh,
and that's what you're saying.
That's exactly what I'm saying, Larry, that it does affect us. And when we were talking to Sharon a few minutes ago about how her daughter is highly alarmed when her husband doesn't come home on time, and she is deeply triggered by that, that is her history speaking. Mm-hmm. And we need to be able to acknowledge that and not believe that the current day spouse that I have is the sole reason for what I'm feeling. So that's the key point.
No, I think that's very important. You know, the Bible talks about we inherit the sins of a previous generation, or at least the sin bent. And personally speaking, when I was a newlywed, Kathy and I were not doing well. We both came from dysfunctional families. And we decided we're either going to recover or repeat those sins.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we were unfortunately repeating them in that first year, not realizing it, but we're kind of imitating those things. And so we put a stake in the ground. Mm-hmm. And I would say that besides my decision to make a commitment to Jesus Christ, the decision to recover has been one of the hardest, but the best. Mm-hmm. Because you can change the trajectory of your life, your family, your future generations, when you make that kind of a decision. So it's the, you know, choose to recover, not to repeat. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it takes one person. But to do that, you've got to repair the past.
And when you say that, Jim, to we choose to recover, we have to ask the question, from what?
Yes.
See, and what is it that I'm recovering from?
Yes, and you have to almost name that.
That's right.
You know, I mean, Henry Cloud has a phrase that I love. He says, if the tooth is infected, pull it. Don't pull the whole, you know, don't take all your teeth out. Just pull what's infected. We've got to figure out what's infected. And I didn't know that when I started this journey. Mm. So I had to find what is it that I've got to think through. And all of a sudden, you know, I missed that my dad was an alcoholic. It was what was normal. So we didn't know it. And all of a sudden I'm going, wait, I'm a kid of an alcoholic. I didn't know that because it was just normal to me. It was so I had to say, no, there's some things I have to work through. Mm. And in order to work through that, that not only affects my life, but then it leaks out to my wife and my kids, both either on a negative side or a positive side.
It's a great word, leak. They do leak out.
Yeah.
I'm grateful for your wisdom. I'm glad that everybody was listening, because I know that impacted them. And I hope that you make a decision. If you heard something today that you recognize that you need help, call us. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. You can go to newlife.com. We are there for you. There is hope. And there's help for you to recover. Make that decision today. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.